There are also reports that al-Shabaab has been preventing starving people from fleeing the country. Ken Menkhouse is a political scientist at Davidson College, and he is a Somalia expert. Why would al-Shabaab do that, essentially imprison people and let them starve instead of letting them go where the food is?
The famine and the massive flow of people trying to escape the famine is an indictment of Shabaab, a reflection of the failure of the organization to provide even the most basic protection and services for the large area that it controls. I think they're also concerned about the prospect of losing a large number of people who are their tax base and a source of recruitment into the militia.
Well, if they keep them there and don't let any food in, then the people are going to be starving anyway. Why are they holding on so tightly, especially they're apparently letting some groups in to deliver aid, but not others and not the majority? Why does it cooperate with some aid groups and not others?
It has accused a lot of aid organizations of being spies for the West. Those that they have allowed to remain are there at a very low level, not dealing in large-scale food aid, but dealing with, you know, small levels of medical supplies. They're certainly looking to increase the flow of food aid from Islamic charities. But I think at this point, we're looking at an organization that has leadership problems so profound that we have to consider the possibility that this could be the 21st century's Cambodia's killing fields, a Pol Pot kind of situation where a group is going to preside over the mass deaths of the people that it controls.
You mean by not letting aid in and not letting the people out?
Precisely.
How does it have such control over this swath of land? And maybe you can describe the area that it is in control of.
Shabaab loosely controls all of the territory from the Kenyan border to most of the capital Mogadishu and up toward the Ethiopian border and into central Somalia. So it controls over a third of the territory of Somalia, and it's the most important, most populated part of the country. It does not have a large number of fighters. This is a group of a few thousand at most. It does not constitute a state within a state like Hezbollah or Hamas has done. Its control consists of a handful of young kids with guns who mine towns and villages.
You mentioned Hezbollah in Lebanon, Hamas in the West Bank. Even those organizations provide some kind of service to the people, which is one way of getting in good graces with the people as a result. Al-Shabaab, is it doing anything to ingratiate itself or win the hearts and minds of people, aside from setting up these containment camps?
It won the hearts and minds of a lot of Somalis back in 07, 08 when it fought against the Ethiopian military occupation. But now the Ethiopians are long gone. What Shabaab has done is it has provided better law and order. It's a rule of terror, but it has made no attempt to create that kind of state within a state that we see in places like southern Lebanon with Hezbollah.
One more question. What does the United States do in this case? I mean, it realizes, as do others in the international community, that much of the aid that they give might be absconded with by al-Shabaab or turned down by the organization. What options, then, do we have?
Currently, the aid is restricted because of the Patriot Act, which forbids material benefits flowing to a terrorist group. The government understands that the Patriot Act was never meant to deny famine aid, and they are looking to initiate some sort of a waiver that would provide legal protection for the nonprofits that would then try to get the food aid in. So if that happens, and if the NGOs are able to work out networks and security to get in, the only remaining impasse is Shabaab itself. And there, I think what we're going to see is some Shabaab leaders breaking and agreeing to get the food into their areas while hardliners continue to resist.
That's Ken Menkhouse, who's a political scientist at Davidson College in North Carolina. He spoke to us from Washington.